Can you believe it? It's 2022. I thought it was still 2020 after last week with all this COVID garbage. I just want to say thank you to for being so patient with our church leadership. We felt the need to cancel services last week, and even had to cancel Celebrate Recovery last week. We just had a whole bunch of people at one time with COVID, and we felt like it was necessary. Let's just make a quick break here, and let's get everybody on the well side of this, and then we'll start meeting again. So thank you, everybody, for your patience, and we're just trying to do the right thing. There's always decisions to be made. In the last 2 years, or year and a half, almost 2 years, of COVID decisions have just been crazy. It feels like we've made more decisions with the word COVID in the question than anything else, and so I appreciate everybody being patient and working with the program. So I just want to welcome you back. Here it is, 2022. I'm excited about what God's going to do this year. I think that God has something brand new to do. I don't think it's going to look like it has in the past. I just think that he's up to something brand new, and he wants us to be a part of it. And so I want to share one word with you this morning. The word is ignite. This word has a very deep meaning, obviously, and we're gonna hear this word all throughout the year. It's sort of gonna be our theme for the year. A few days ago, we went and bought some fireworks for New Year's Eve, and we stood out in the backyard and we shot fireworks and we oohed and awed and took videos, and we ran up and tried to light it and then ran back and when the fuse didn't work. But here was the most important thing that happened. The person that is lighting the fuse had to be on their game. You don't want somebody that's scared of the firework lighting the fireworks, because they're just back and forth, and everybody gets a fun laugh out of it the first two or three times. And then you're like, just give me the stupid lighter, just give it here. And so the most important thing that happens is the ignition, the igniting of that fuse. Now, then it takes care of itself. After you've lit the fuse, it handles itself. Now, when we are looking at what our lives are going to look like in 2022, I want to start with this simple question. What is God trying to ignite in you? In the past, maybe you've just given him some wet fireworks to work with. And he's like, I'm trying, but you're not working with me. You're giving me wet wood to build a fire with. What is it that God wants to ignite in your life this year? What is it that the move of God that he wants to happen in your life this year? Now, look, when we start asking this question, it's not just I need to get back to the gym. Now, that may be part of it. Self-discipline is a fruit of the Spirit, right? We self-control. We understand that God can work that in our lives. But there's so much more that God wants to do in our lives. And we've got to be connected with him. We've got to be listening to him. If we really want him to ignite these areas of our life, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm asking God to ignite something brand new in us in 2022. I'm asking God to show up in ways that he did in Scripture. I hope that at the end of 2022, we're talking about people that were healed of cancer. I hope that we're still talking about people that were delivered from addiction, and we've got a bunch of that happening already. I hope that we're talking about marriages that were put back together and miracles that doctors verified. I want to see something new. I don't want it to be church as usual. I want God to ignite something in us that we can't control. If you were watching the news a few days ago in Colorado, there was forest fires and people being evacuated. It was out of control, totally out of control for a few hours or a few days there. Now, I want God to do something that I can't control. I want God to do something that I can't take credit for. I want God to do something in me that I have to step back after it's happened and go, oh, woo, wow, I'm glad I got to be a part of that one. It wasn't me, it wasn't my ability that brought it on, it was God that was doing something deeper and bigger in me. Now, I want us to start with this scripture, Luke 3:16. Luke 3:16 is a very important scripture for, for all of us if we want to grow and we want God to do something great in our lives. John answered. This is John the Baptist. Now, just to get a picture, John the Baptist was kind of crazy. He was like, the Bible says he ate locusts and wild honey. He was dressed in camel hair clothes. He was out there, all right? He was not a come to Sunday Christian that said, let me sit here quietly. He was crazy. All right, everybody around knew he was crazy. And he was crazy for Jesus. He was completely sane. He just had something in him. He had to share this message. So John answered their questions by saying, I baptize you with water. John's like, I'm going to baptize you. I'm going to baptize you in water. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, Jesus, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Here's what John was saying. God wants to do something brand new in you. They didn't hear often the words Holy Spirit. That wasn't something they talked about, like you and I could pick up our Bible and read. They weren't on the same page. This was all brand new lingo. And then on top of that, he said, not only is Jesus going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, he's going to baptize you with fire. He's going to ignite something in you that's going to change your future. It's going to change the trajectory of your life. So let's kind of unpack this word fire. If John the Baptist said Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit's going to baptize you, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We need to know what fire is all about. Fire was about passion, obviously. But what does fire do in your life and mine right here and right now? Well, there's something special about a warm fire on a cold night. We have a fire pit in our yard. And if you build a fire, they will come. People just naturally come. If I see somebody's built a fire in the fire pit, I'm like, well, I know I got things to do, but let's go check out the fire. I bet they got marshmallows over there. And I just want to be around the fire. If we light a fire in our fireplace, I want to be in a recliner close by. You'll sort of see everybody in the house kind of gravitate to the fire because it's warm. It feels good. You want to back up to the fire. Just feels all good. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. You know, when you come in and you're freezing cold, now we don't experience this a whole lot in Texas, so you got to really enjoy it when it happens. You get really cold outside, then you come in and you stand by the fire, or you move over to the fire pit. There's something comforting about that. Like, I want to be right here. So fire warms you and me. Fire also gives us light. Fire is what gives us, fire gives light to those that in the dark. Now think back to when this was written. They couldn't walk in the house and flip on electric lights and, hey, we got it. They couldn't grab the flashlight or turn on the headlights to the car. They didn't know about electricity and all that yet. If they wanted to see where they were going, they had to light a candle. They had to light a lamp. And so when fire was there, it meant that they could see something. It meant that something was going to be illuminated. John said, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's going to illuminate your path. It's going to illuminate the outside. It's also going to illuminate the inside. God's going to show you what's on the inside. You ever open a closet you haven't opened in a long time? You're like, where did this garbage come from? And who's been stacking stuff in here? And everybody points at you. You've been putting it in there for years. It's all you. Or you open that drawer. You know, the drawer is at the end of the counter. You open the drawer and it's got stuff in there that you're like, I don't even know what this wire goes to. Does anybody know what this plugs into? That the Holy Spirit will illuminate with fire the inside, our personal lives, and show us the parts that we have piled up, the stuff we have forgotten, so that we can clean it out and we can grow. Which leads me to the next one. Fire purifies us. It purifies all those things that shouldn't be there. This is important. If you want to purify gold, you got to put it in a pot and you got to put it over the fire. And the impurities come to the top and you skim them off the top. And then you're left with a bowl full of pure gold. It purifies that gold. And that gold is valuable. The fire of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine purifies us so that we can be valuable, we are usable, we can build the kingdom, which leads me to the next one. Fire spreads. Fire will spread. It will get out of control if you're not paying attention to it. We on a fireplace, we put a screen, and then we put glass on the front of that. And in a fire pit, we put a big ring around it so the fire can't get away. We're careful because it can be dangerous if it gets away. Now, this fire we're talking about is not dangerous to you and me. It's dangerous to the world that Satan is controlling right now. Amen. So this fire spreads, which leads me to the next scripture, Acts 2 and 1. It says, on the day of Pentecost, now remember Jesus has ascended back to the Father, and he said, look, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the promise. The promise was the Holy Spirit. John said, Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to give you the Holy Spirit. Jesus is leaving, and he says to them directly, here's that moment. Now, all the way back where John the Baptist was telling you about, this is that moment. So Jesus ascends back to the Father, right? And then he says, go to Jerusalem. They go to Jerusalem. They wait in the upper room. There's 120 people in the upper room. Jesus told 500 people to go back to Jerusalem and wait. 120 of them waited. So not everybody is going to wait for what God wants to do. I have to choose if I'm going to be one of those people that allows God to ignite something in my life. They go to the upper room, and this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. All the believers were meeting together in one place. They were all together. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames, tongues of fire, appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. It was a God moment that changed history. Now watch what happens. They didn't just get baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire for themselves. They didn't experience this encounter with God just for themselves. They left the upper room and they go into the streets of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that Simon Peter starts preaching to everybody there. And 3,000 people come to Christ that day. 3,000 people, our encounters with God, what God wants to ignite in us is not just for us, it's for others. If it stops with me, it will smolder and die. If I'm so selfish to keep this flame to myself, it will die. It's supposed to spread. I'm supposed to be a vessel that can spread this message, can spread this fire wherever I go. Now, there's a million ways to do that. You can love people at work, you can encourage people, you can give, you can do a million different things, but whatever God is leading you to do is going to be fueled by this fire. God wants to use this thing in us to accomplish something great. Now, 2 Timothy 1 and 6 says this, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. It's an older pastor talking to a younger pastor, and he says, look, don't forget about the gifts you have. Those gifts are not going to use themselves. Those gifts are not going to accomplish anything unless you use them the right way. And he gives him this metaphor. He says, I want you to fan into flame the gifts you have. Fan into flame. In other words, you are going to have to stoke the fire. You're going to have to tend the flame. You're going to have to add the fuel. You have to be the steward of the flame. Now, Jody and I, in our living room now, we have a fireplace that you walk over and you got a key right here and you light it and it's beautiful flame just comes up. It's called gas. And then you can put wood on it and it looks like you built a raging, beautiful fire. But if you turn off the gas, it's gone. All right. Now, we used to have, in our first house, we had a fireplace that did not have the key and the gas. And so you had to either learn how to build a fire and take care of the fire, or you had no fire. So you were over there lighting paper, and you're lighting twigs, and you got grass from the backyard. And then we learned about these fire logs. If you haven't seen that, that's a winner. And it burns forever, and it's supposed to catch the real wood on fire. But you got to work at it. If you want that fire, you better work at it. The same thing happens right here in this scripture. He said, you're going to have to fan into flame these gifts. These are not going to take care of themselves. What are you going to do? So I'm going to ask you the question again. What is it that God wants to ignite in you and me in 2022? 2020 was a life altering year for everybody here. 2021, we thought was getting a little better. 2022 started off as a pooper, if you ask me, all right? I don't like the way this has all started. People sick all over the place. Now, we have to decide, though, has God called us, and does God have something for us to do? What is it that God wants us to do? What is it God wants to ignite in us in 2022? Because here's the truth. Satan loves it when we sit back and go, well, it's just not working out the way I thought it was going to work out. Satan loves it. It's called discouragement. Discourages us. Circumstances are what discourage us. When we run into circumstances that we don't like, that are difficult, if we allow it to, it can discourage us. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm preaching to myself this morning too. We all face this one. There's nothing wrong with you if you're facing it right now. But Satan wants to throw circumstances at you and me to discourage us from igniting and fanning into flame what God has for us to do and what he wants us to be. We have to choose this thing. We've got to decide. If you are discouraged and you're living in discouragement, you are the one that has to do something to get out of that discouragement. Now, I don't want to beat anybody up who's discouraged, okay? But we have to decide what we're going to do. Am I going to today to allow God to ignite in me what it is he wants to ignite? Am I going to allow God to do today what he wants to do in me? Or am I going to just sit back and wait for this thing? Jesus said, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm trying to do something in your life. I'm going to empower you to do this thing. And you find no more fulfillment in life than when you choose to follow God's path and God's plan. Now, we try to fill our lives with counterfeit stuff. Makes us feel good, right? If I can do this, if I can go there, if I can spend more money. And we think that we can make ourselves, we can encourage ourselves with things that are temporary. And that only lasts for a short time because they're temporary. When we say, God, I'm ready for whatever it is you want to do, and we allow God to start working in our life, then there's permanent encouragement that comes because when we do his will, his plan, we find fulfillment. Remember, those gifts are not for me. Those gifts are for somebody else. Your gifts are not for you. They're for somebody else. The Bible doesn't tell us God gave you gifts so you could be rich. God gave you gifts so you could be popular. God gave you gifts so you could feel good. That's never what it says. It says he gave you gifts so you could encourage, you could edify someone else, you could build someone else up. And when we recognize that in the middle of our discouragement, now it's hard, but when we recognize that in the middle of our discouragement, then we say, okay, I have to fan these flames. Nobody's going to fan my flames for me. I got to do this for myself. So how do we keep that fire burning? When God ignites this thing in us, what do we need to do? I want to share four things with you. And these are going to be the four things that we talk about over the next four Sundays. The first one is fellowship. You have to have fellowship. I'm telling you, COVID has taken the fellowship out of us in a lot of ways. We didn't even think about shaking hands and hugging necks. We see people in the mall and we just hug them. I hugged somebody the other day and I walked away and I went, I don't think they wanted to be hugged. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. We're a little nervous about it now. Well, should I be around this person? And all of that is legitimate. But listen, we got to figure out ways. We got to figure out ways because fellowship is a huge part of keeping the flame burning in our lives. I just told you in my backyard we got a fire pit, and when you build the fire, people come. You just want to be around the fire. We just need to be and want to be. When the fire's burning, we want to be around other people who can encourage and build us up, and we can do the same for them. We're going to talk about fellowship. And the second one is gifts. Gifts. God has put something in your life that the world needs. That's not me trying to be encouraging. That's Bible. God has put something in your life that other people need from you. And when we sit back and don't use it, we are leaving a void in that person's life. When we say, I know, but I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling ignited. So I'm just going to skip that. Then we leave somebody's blessing out. We steal that from them. What is it? What are the gifts? This one's so hard. Because if I were to say to you today, what are you good at? What are your gifts? Most of us go, I don't know, you know. I'm not good at anything. I'm just not. Now, if I ask you, what do you need to improve? You got a list 12 miles long. You're like, I need to be better at this and this and this and this. We're so, we can pick out the negative in our lives, but picking out the positive, what am I good at? What's God called me to? What is it that I do that I see fruit produced when I do that thing? Now, you may just not be able to see it in yourself, so find somebody who can be honest with you and love you and say, hey, I want to know, what do you think I'm good at? What is it that you think I'm good at? You know, I love when we're doing stuff around here at Grace Point, I can see the people who are just natural helpers. They're over there picking up tables and moving chairs and emptying trash. They're just naturally doing it. And other people are over there encouraged. They got somebody cornered and they're over there praying for them. They're just encouraging them. Their gift is encouragement. Now, you can't switch those two people because they don't have the same gifts. If you take the encourager and you say, pick up all that trash, they're like, what in the world are you talking about? I don't know about all that. Now, they got to pick up trash from time to time. And then the person that has the gift of helps, they gotta be encouraging sometimes, okay? So God gets us out of our box. But what are you good at? If you share an encouraging word with somebody, have you heard people say to you, I really appreciate that. That means a lot. Thank you so much for picking up the phone and calling me or shooting me that text or talking to me at church and telling me that encouraging word. Encouragement might be your gift. What is your gift? It might be teaching. It could be a million things, all right? What is the gift that God has? We're going to talk about that. The third one is personal growth. If I want to keep the flame going, I have to be responsible for my personal growth. Can I just let you in on the way I see our world right now? I see our world, so many victims. I see people that feel victimized every day. And I'm not talking about race or gender. I'm talking about just in life. The boss hates me, and he's a loser, and he's so stupid. And instead of taking ownership and feeling power to do something about their life or make a change in the job or what, they sit down and feel victimized. God does not want you sitting around feeling victimized. God wants you and me to take ownership of our personal growth and say, here's an area that I need to work on. I need the Holy Spirit to work in my life. I need to own this and quit blaming everybody else and start growing in my relationship with God. Just look at somebody and say, he's preaching now. Go ahead. Yeah. It hurts. It hurts. Because it's much easier to blame somebody else because I don't have to change anything. It's their fault. God is telling you and me it's not their fault. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to make the changes that are necessary. Amen. When you go to work and you feel victimized, God, the Holy Spirit, has empowered you to make the changes and have the conversations and look for a new job if it's a new job you need. God has empowered us to do this, but we have to cooperate with him. We're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about encounters with God. If I want to keep this flame burning, I have to have some encounters with God. My first encounter with God that I remember, I was 9 years old. I gave my heart to Christ. I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember walking down an aisle and standing right about here in my home church on a Saturday night and giving my heart to Christ in a revival service. And it was there. Now, I didn't always make good decisions. I had to come back to Jesus and repent some after that, all right? But it started there. That was my first encounter with God. I remember at 17 being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it was an amazing, it changed the trajectory of my life. I could tell about many of those times. I could tell you about when our firstborn was born and the doctor said he might not make it. And in a car between here and Fort Worth on the way to the hospital, I had an encounter with God and I felt God say, it's going to be okay. I got this. I'm talking about encounters with God that change things. Some of those encounters are not that dramatic. Some of them are when I open my Bible in the morning with my coffee and I read a scripture and go, ooh, that hurts. I need to work on that one. Or thank you, God, for that reassurance. I was worried about that, but I know right here it says it's going to be okay. I can trust you. That's an encounter with God that counts. I used to preach a sermon a long time ago called Encounters That Count. And I talked about the woman at the well and how Jesus said, look, you had a bunch of husbands, but it's time to let all that go. All right, it's time for you to follow me. I got living water for you. Change the trajectory of her life. We would talk about blind Bartimaeus and how Jesus healed his eyes. And we would talk about the lady with the issue of blood and how she pushed through the crowd that did not want her there. And she touched the hem of his garment and she was completely healed. The Bible says it was such a dramatic moment that healing virtue left Jesus and flowed into this lady just touching the hem of his garment. It was an encounter that counted. But listen, you got to be intentional about encounters with God. Some of those encounters are just going to show up, but sometimes you got to be like the blind guy saying, I'm leaving my coat here. I hear Jesus through the crowd. Other people are saying, just sit down and be quiet. That's what they did to him in the Bible. Just sit down. Stop that. And he's like, I hear his voice coming. He was intentional about an encounter with God that counted. We're gonna work on that this year. We're going to have some particular services, some services that are just for having encounters with God. And I'll tell you more about that as we get into it. Listen, I believe that God wants to do something brand new in you and me. But we have to decide, what is it? What is it that God wants to do, and then move toward him? God, what do you want to ignite in me? Do you want to ignite a brand new passion for your word in me? Do you want to ignite a brand new passion for serving in me? Do you want to ignite a new passion in me to encourage other people? What is it you want to ignite in me as I step out in this journey of 2022? What is it, God, you want to do? And we're going to end with this story. It's not a story, and it's an account from the Bible. The prophet's name was Elijah. Elijah was the last prophet of God. And there was King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. King Ahab was the king of Israel, and he married a woman, Jezebel, who had all sorts of other gods that she worshipped from where she came from. She came from Sidonia. And she brought all this in, and he went for it. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And so he started to lead God's people astray. And there's only one prophet left, and his name is Elijah. And a long story short, you can look it up later in 1 Kings 18. There comes a showdown between the prophet Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Baal was a false god that King Ahab and Queen Jezebel and all the people were worshiping at the time. Elijah said, look, King, I want you to get all your prophets together. You got 450 of those prophets of Baal over there, and then you got several hundred more prophets of Asherah. I want you to bring all of them. Let them slaughter a bull, and I'll slaughter a bull, and we'll offer them as sacrifices to our particular gods. And whichever god answers with fire, that'll be the true god. We'll know that that's the true god. Animal sacrifices were a part of Jewish custom and religion every single day. So the prophets of Baal, they got their altar set up, they killed their bull, they put it there, they started to call on their god, and their god didn't show up with fire. And the day goes on, it's mid-morning, and they're starting to dance and really scream out to their god. And about noontime, Elijah says, maybe he's asleep. He kind of taunts him. I don't know about all that, but he kind of taunts him and goes, you know, maybe he's on vacation. He actually said that. Maybe he's traveling. Maybe you need to be louder. He's asleep. They got louder and louder. The Bible says they started to cut themselves with swords and spears. And the Bible said the blood was flowing from these prophets of Baal. They were so intent on calling on this false god. Blood is spilling on the ground. Elijah's just watching the whole thing. Hours and hours and hours go by. And finally, the Bible says that the time of sacrifice for Elijah's God, the time of sacrifice came, and Elijah steps up. puts the altar there, puts the bull on the altar. The Bible says he dug a trench all the way around the altar. Then he had people bring in water. Three times they poured the water over the bull and onto the rocks and down. It filled the trench. Everything is drenched. And then Elijah, very calmly, I love this. I want you to listen to this. I just want to read it to you. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. If you don't get anything else this morning, get that. He stepped forward and he prayed. Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things to your command, at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Now watch this. He prayed that simple little prayer. Lord, just show up and show everybody that you're still God. Verse 38 says, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up all the water in the trench. I want you to get that picture. Fire falls from heaven. It burns up the sacrifice, the wood, burns up the rocks it's sitting on, burns up the dirt that the rocks are sitting on, licks up all the water. It's just a hole in the ground when God sends fire. And when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. God wants to do something in you and me. He wants to do something in you and me. But we got to step up. We got to pray. We got to call on his name. We got to reach out to him. We got to present ourselves and say, Lord, I want you to use me. I don't want to just slide through life and then at the end of my life have a lot of regrets on what I wish I had done for you. I want to start now doing what you're calling me to do, being what you've called me to be. I want you to ignite my life. I want you to ignite my life. I want you to ignite my life. Starting next month, we're not going to do it this month. It's a crazy time at the beginning of our month. But starting next month, on the first Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday of the month, we're going to have fasting and prayer for 3 days. And we're going to do that every month, the first Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of every month throughout the rest of this year. We're going to meet for fasting and prayer. We're going to have the church open during those days so you can come by and you can pray. You can gather with somebody else. You can put your name on the list. We can pray for the things that need to be prayed for. But we're going to seek God to show up, not just for what he can do for us. We're going to seek him to touch our world. If there's ever been a time in my life when our world needs Jesus, it's today. And you and I, amen, and you and I are the ones that are empowered to get the job done, to shine the light, to show the world what it looks like when somebody follows Christ. They're looking at us now. They want to know if we're real. This is our chance. This is our chance to show up. This is our chance to show the world what Christ is all about. The world has this idea that Christians are self-righteous and arrogant and hypocritical, and there's plenty of that in the church. But what if we show them what real believers, people that are empowered by the Holy Spirit and baptized in fire, when they get busy following God, let's show them what that looks like this year. And here's the truth. They're going to say, he's kind of like that crazy guy, John the Baptist. He's weird, but man, he's powerful. He's weird, but he prays a lot. Stuff happens in his life. She's a little different, but there's something genuine about her. I'm telling you, when we say, God, what is it that you want to ignite in me? What is it you want to do in me? When we call out to God, and when I call them ugly face prayers, when we get alone and we start praying those prayers that have needed to be prayed, and we start pouring out our hearts to God and saying, Lord, show up. God, show up in my family. God, heal my family. God, save my family. God, help me to walk in grace and help me to walk in love. But God, do your thing in my workplace. God, show up in my church, in my neighborhood. Don't let me just walk through this life being a nice guy. Let me walk through this life being an empowered, fire-baptized man of God. Let me walk. Listen, God has something for you to do. I'm going to end with this. There are people in this room right now that have thought, I don't have any gifts. God would never choose me. And I'm going to say this to you right now. Everybody watching at home who thinks the same thing, that is a lie from Satan. John the Baptist said it. Jesus said it. And then it happened on the day of Pentecost. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. God wants to do something in us, with us, through us. I wasn't going to announce this, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you about the next sermon series that's coming up. Starting in February, we're going to have a series on the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about who the Holy Spirit is, what he means to us, how he operates in our life. We're going to talk about speaking in tongues. We're going to talk about the whole bit. We're going to look at it. Amen. I believe God wants to ignite us. I believe God wants to ignite us. I want you to stand with me. We're going to sing this song right now, and I want you to ask one question. God, what do you want to ignite in me? What do you want to ignite in me? What do you want to ignite in me? Let's sing it together, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist.
Cause when you walk into the room, begin to rise, cause there is resurrection life in all you do. Yeah. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, we can't get enough.
To ignite in you and me today? What is it that God wants to do? If you answered this question, if you asked this question, if I really got serious about my relationship with God, maybe you are real serious, but if you said, if I really got serious about my relationship with God, this is what God would have me do. And let God lead. Check it out with somebody else who's a strong believer. Find out what they say about what you feel that you're hearing from God. What is it that God would do? It might just be a small step. in the right direction. Just one step where God says, I'm taking you here, then I'm going to take you there, then I'm going to take you there. But I can't show you the whole journey yet. I'd scare you to death. I'm just going to show you the next step. If I showed you the whole thing, you'd quit on me. Because you'd think it had something to do with you, but it has nothing to do with me or you. It has all to do with Him and His power and His fire. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I believe God's up to something. I believe God's doing something. I believe God's doing something. I got to let us go. I just feel something. I just think God's doing something. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage somebody. Pick up your Bible this week. Don't try to conquer your Bible this week. Just pick it up. Just read it a little bit. Don't try to read the whole thing this week, all right? If you've never read your Bible, don't try to read 25 chapters in the morning, all right? Just build a relationship with the Word. Build a relationship with it. Let God speak to you. Start where you are. Start where you are. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we want to surrender to you. Lord, we want the fire of the Holy Spirit alive in our lives. We want to be ignited, Lord. We want you to set us on fire for your kingdom. Lord, we want to do this for your glory and your honor, and we thank you for what's coming in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody.